Hey, everybody, check it out. You got to give this one a listen. We just finished up the wrap of a great Festool Shop Talk with Matt from MWA Woodworks. You can find him on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Go check out his videos. They're so informative. They're great build videos. And what I want to mention is this is why you should listen. He gives some extremely sound advice to people starting a woodworking business. So check it out. I had a heck of a time chatting with him. And thank you for listening.
Welcome to episode number 23 of Festool Shop Talk. We're with Matt from MWA Woodworks. You can find him on MW Woodworks on Instagram. He's got a YouTube channel, MWA Woodworks. He's got a heck of a following on both. And, of course, MWAWoodworks.com. What other platforms might you be on, Matt?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've got, TikTok, I think, is the other major one that you can find me on. Facebook, I'm everywhere, just at MWA Woodworks. I got it all locked down.
Way cool. Yeah, it's always good when you start an account to lock everything down quickly, all at once before you start putting content out, for sure. Hey, I just want to say, I met you about 3 or 4 years ago at Rubio Monaco.
Yeah, 2018 now, down at the Rubio event, the first Rubio event. Man, that was forever ago.
Oh, you were at the first one. Oh, my God. That was
fun. Oh, yeah.
Boy, has that evolved over time? Because when I showed up, they're setting it up. I think we had 2 bar clamps. And I think we had a Swanson square for all our measuring and layout. Oh, my God. But you know what? What was cool about that is you guys made that work. And I was
Hey, we got it done. And there was some tremendous folks there, some tremendous makers. Most of them I had not met in person. Because back then there was, not really, no workbench con, nothing like that. So, yeah, that was really the first time that I met most of those folks. And, man, what a great time.
Hey, Jason Hibbs there, Bourbon Moth?
Jason was there. Philip Morley was there.
Welcome to Hogwarts.
Stevie, built by Stevie. You know, she's another local Tennessean. She was there. Lots of great people.
Yeah, Jeff Mack from Jeff Mack Design was there. Hey,
Son of Sawdust, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What was cool about that is I've on Shop Talk, we did Jason, if anybody doesn't know who he is, it's Bourbon Moth. And I just love chatting with him because that's the first time I met him down there. And he knew what he told me. That's the first time he had actually gone out and met a lot of people because he was just doing his thing where he was in Oregon. And I was blown away. He goes, yeah, it's the first time I had been invited to something, I think he said. And I'm just like, wow, it was really cool. And then we did another shop talk out at his shop in Oregon when we were out there. I think in July we were out there. It's pretty cool. What a great down-to-earth, authentic guy.
Oh man, so fun! Just so fun, so nuts, and he's living it, man, living the dream.
Yeah, and what's really cool? So I'll let you know this. I don't think I'm letting the cat out of the bag yet because I had been talking about this. Alan Neary, who is the man behind the scenes and in front of everybody at Rubio Monaco, because it was his idea. He got me involved with it. We kind of designed the whole build-off thing. He's coming up here, I believe, in February, because guess what we're doing? He's always wanted me to do this, and I finally got the right things going on this. We're going to do a build-off here at Festool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really awesome.
We're working with a few things where Rubio's going to come in. We're going to do it in conjunction with something else here. And we are so stoked because next week I start going out and getting all the resources for it. And it's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, we're not going to have any bottlenecks on tools. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I see the wall. I see the wall behind you there. You guys are well stocked.
Yeah, and the other thing that's cool is we're opening up the we have this foldable wall, and we're going to have both teams in this huge space, and it's going to be great. We're going to have so much daggone fun. Alan's going to come up. He's going to bring his crew with him, and I'm going to invite a few other people too, so it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Boy, we just went off on that. You know what I mean? I love this. I love Sean.
Big news, you know?
I get to hang out with friends, you know? And it's kind of like when I do Festool Live, we always say, hey, everybody goes, hey, you nervous? I go, what should I be nervous about?
It's just people, right?
It's just people. I'm just hanging out and having fun, right? Okay, so let's have a little bit of fun. I need to know, or I think everybody would like to know, Matt, because this Festool Shop Talk is always about you, the person we have. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get started? How long you've been doing it? Kind of bring us up to speed.
Yeah. So I am a husband and father of three living just south of Nashville in Tennessee. I have been doing the whole woodworking thing for about a decade now. When my wife and I moved our family down to Tennessee, bought a house, we really didn't have much to put in it at the time. And so my wife just starts sending me, hey, you should check out, you know, these project plans and look at this DIY thing. And all you need is, you know, a Craig jig and a circular saw, and you can do this. And I'm like, oh, geez, here we go. And at that time, I was the least handy person ever. And so I really started doing a lot of research and a lot of watching YouTube. And I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. Like, look at this stuff and look what these people are building and look, look at this tool and what does this do and all of that. And I fell so far down that rabbit hole. It's not even funny. And it's really just been no looking back from there. I, you know, started up content creation light, I suppose, on Instagram way back in the day. Gosh, probably 2014 now. I've been doing it on Instagram, and then started a cutting board business. I ran that for about 4 years, shipping boards all over the place and loving it. And that was great because I could do it, kind of at night and on the weekends, which is where I primarily do most of my woodworking. And so that was easy to manage, easy to get, you know, generate some income and get things going and show people what was going on in my shop and have a lot of content based around that. And then I eventually made the jump over to YouTube right before the pandemic, decided that I wanted to go from making more to teaching, because I think that's more in my nature and more of what I like to do is showing people the process and tips, tricks, how to get things done. And so I kind of jumped into that and really got, you know, my feet wet, or really jumped in the pool is more like it, because that's a whole other ball game. It's not making 1 minute videos sped up for Instagram. It's a whole other job and a whole other deal, but I'm loving it so far.
Yeah, for sure. And man, I saw you, you got about 165,000 subscribers on YouTube. So
it's amazing. Man. The support over there is just awesome. And I never thought, you know, a couple years ago when I started that I'd be where I am. Cause you know, I don't put out videos like some of these folks do, you know, every 2 or 3 weeks. I'm much slower than that. But I try to do the best that I can, and the support and love is just amazing over there. It's a great platform to be on and a great way to express what you have going on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize you could do a great video, put it on YouTube, but there's a lot of back end to that. And when I say back end, it's answering comments and engaging with your audience that you have. And I think that's important too, because there's some other really great questions that come about behind the scenes. So I on Instagram, I do the Festool Sedge thing, and I'm constantly getting content from people texting me about, hey, can you do a quick video on this? I went, oh, wow, what a great idea. Sometimes you think, you know, you've been doing it for a decade, you know, and you think, hey, everybody knows this. No, they didn't.
No, that's the number one thing, and you'll get sometimes you'll make a post, and you know someone will say, well, duh, of course, who doesn't know that, and that's so simple, you shouldn't do woodworking if you don't know that, and I'm like, hey, you should never ever ever make assumptions about what people know, what people have been exposed to. Just everybody starts somewhere, and you know, you don't know until you know. So you should always, you know, that's kind of the number one thing I go into it with is I don't, you know, when you're editing down a video and you're deciding, you know, I got to take this thing that's this big and make it this big.
Yep.
Don't forget to leave out the simple stuff. Don't forget to leave out the alternate ways to do something, because those are the things I think that people really take away from the video, right? Because that's when you're actually helping somebody, is by, well, I don't have a bandsaw, but I could use a jigsaw to do this, or I don't have a domino, but I could do this other thing, right? I mean, right. So showing them alternate ways, keeping it as simple, you know, little things that you just, yeah. I absolutely don't assume that people know, because just because you think it's, you know, a simple thing.
Yeah, what I was doing is I was going through your Instagram account. I said, because I always do a little bit of research to have some more, and I guess, insightful questions. And I was like, so the first, and I wrote this down. I went, cabinets and cutting boards, because I knew your business was cutting boards. But it seems like, and I'll tell you what, you can watch 100 videos. And I don't want to say it's the same thing, but 100 videos on like a Midas saw station. How to build a base cabinet, right? How to do this. But it's your take on it, and it's your flow or your process that I think is the takeaway on that. How do you feel about that? Because everybody has something to offer, right?
Yeah, and it's something that you got to think about too when you're, because I've done multiple cabinet videos and tried to turn them into different things and show them in different ways. And yeah, you got to, Each kind of piece of content that you do, you got to think of a fresh angle, something different. You know, maybe one project is more towards the, you know, hardcore process, and another one is more towards create, you know, a little bit more creative angle, a little bit more highlighting the tips and tricks instead of just focusing entirely on the process, and really starting to engage with your audience. And you kind of mentioned it before, like, once you get that feedback loop going through comments and suggestions and, hey, can you do a video on this? And, hey, you didn't mention this in this video. Take a note. Set it aside. Next time you do a video on that, make sure you include it, and just keep that going. Yeah, because it's absolutely – it can get really boring if you do the same video over and over and over again in the same style and the same flow. And so you've got to figure out how to really – make it so that you're presenting basically the same content, but you're putting a way different angle on what it is that you're presenting.
Yeah. So just in chat with you, it sounds like I've been there before. The motivation was a house and marriage and kids. And I saw this on way back when. I saw this at IKEA. I was walking around. Right. Or I saw this on Pinterest, or I saw this on Etsy. And I totally understand that motivation. And boy, you're just cranking out there, and you crank more stuff out. Is that what keeps you motivated? What keeps you motivated? Is there something else out there?
I mean, I think for me, you know, the primary motivation is I always strive to be the best at, you know, whatever it is that I'm trying to do. I always try to, I'm a very, it can be a flaw sometimes, but if I go for something, I just steep in it, marinate in it, try to learn as much of the detail as I can. And video editing and, you know, doing the social media thing is no different. And so for me, I think taking on the YouTube thing, it was really, hey, how do I learn? It's a whole other craft, a whole other job. And so I think learning how to kind of take my journey and share it with other people is the primary motivation. But you know, the family is another motivation, because I people ask, well, you know, do you make furniture? Do you custom stuff for customers or whatever? And I don't have time for that. I have more things on my to-do list just for my wife and my kids and stuff around the house. I have content for years. Like, yeah, I don't need to do any of that other stuff, because it's just until I'm a full timer, you know, and I don't have the day job anymore. There's no way. I would never run out of stuff to do.
No. I was just having this conversation with somebody this morning, because I had a cabinet shop in Fort Lauderdale. Everybody who listens to Shop Talk, I've probably said it 1,000 times. And everything I built lives in somebody else's house. So when we bought this brand new house here in Indiana, I was able to build for my wife, Mary Ann. And we left our kids in Fort Lauderdale. And
smart move.
I have endless builds on the weekends and evenings in my house. And it's tough when you build for somebody. It really is, because sometimes, like, I used to hear, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? And I'm like, yeah, but you have to take your taste out of it, because they're paying for it. But there is there's a huge caveat to all of this. I get to see what I build every day now.
For better or for worse, right? For better or for worse.
Yeah, I get to see mistakes. And you never point them out. Okay, I digress.
Yeah.
Besides your family, growing up, who is your biggest influence to get you going or woodworking? Who is your biggest influence? Did you have one?
Well, and honestly, in woodworking, really, it didn't even start until I was a grown man. But I think growing up, probably my grandfather was really handy. Build a good majority of the home that he and my grandmother lived in. He was, you know, a machinist by trade, and would always have stuff going on in his garage. And, you know, he was metalwork and wood and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, seeing that and having the confidence to be able to do something like that. But honestly, it didn't take root until I was a grown man, you know. And I was in corporate life, and I had no use for, you know, I can pay somebody to do that. I don't need to waste my time doing that. But then it was really like the early YouTubers, the Wood Whisperer and, you know, Woodworking for Mere Mortals, and a lot of those early guys that really just took the time to share,
yeah,
content that was completely free to me, and good content, you know, good quality content, people that know what they're doing. And really they're kind of my primary influence for even loving what I do now, is that was the exposure. And I mean, had I been born a decade or two earlier, you know, I may have completely missed the boat, you know, and not even been exposed to any of this, because I really have anybody like that necessarily growing up, because my grandparents lived in Illinois, so, you know, I'm nowhere near them. I think really the primary influence came from YouTube, and honestly, that's another motivating factor for being on YouTube, is I feel like I owe what I have to that. And so it would be nice to give that back, right? And
right,
to share, pass along to whoever's behind me in line, in the knowledge line, you know, what I have to offer and what I can share to them, that'll just keep the whole thing going.
The beauty of YouTube. And I caught on to this early on working here at Festool, because I started Festool Sedge. But we were keeping, and what I really dig about it, or what you've done on YouTube, it's going to live forever, correct? You've done it, and you will be teaching. You've done it once. You've posted the video. You will be teaching forever.
Forever.
Forever. And I just think That is so important because people need, they're gonna link to you. They're gonna work with Mark, link to Mark on the Wood Whisperer. They're gonna link to, I'll call him out, Jason Bent on Bent's Woodworking. Or you know who they'll link to? They'll link to Alma on Studios, right? They'll link to her.
And I mean, who wouldn't link to Alma?
Oh my God, I think she's actually watching right now. We called her out when we started. And they'll link to Stevie because that inspires, but they're also teaching. And I just think that is so important because you want to prolong the craft. You want to keep the craft going. You want to share your craftsmanship, but also teach the craftsmanship. So
yeah, I get to do it in your own way. Right? You get to do it your own way, your own style. It's completely wide open. You're not making a television show where you're under somebody's thumb and there's a script and there's all this, you know. It's just you know, and that might scare some people, but at the end of the day, you can make of it what you want, and you can teach in your own way, in your own style. All of that stuff is just it's a completely blank canvas.
Yeah, and I'll take it one more step. Last night I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. He's here from Germany, Christian. And we were talking about the first video I did at Festool in 2007. And he goes, I still have it. It's horrible. And I go, do you remember that? I said, do you remember that Saturday morning? We were in there together in the old training room with Martin and you. And you guys gave me a script. Martin was constantly stopping me and asking me to say it this way. I can't do it that way. And that is why I think we've been successful with Festool Live, with the Festool Sedge on Instagram, and now with this, because we do this live first. It's because it's authentic, I think. It's and someone says, why do you like doing live stuff? And I go, you ever watch Saturday Night Live? And I go, yeah. Do you really watch it? No, you watch it because you want to see them start to laugh a little, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to see it happen live, just like NASCAR. Do you go there for the loop around? No, you're looking for the wrecks.
Yeah.
I always joke around about it, but you find your platform. YouTube is awesome because that's a killer platform, and I really like what you said, Matt. Authentic, right? You can do it your way. You're unscripted, and you take care of it. But I'm going to say it again. A lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scenes after the video is posted or getting the video posted to YouTube. There's a lot of work in that editing, huh?
Yeah. Oh, building your project. I mean, you know, you think about building a cabinet. Well, that's a simple process. Well, it's not a simple process when you've got to change the camera angle 50 times in the middle of it and you also have to have the story and the script in your head of what it is that you're trying to show, and you end up doing weird things that you would never do if you were just building a cabinet. It's absolutely, it slows everything down, but it also forces you to think. Again, going back to the teaching thing, it forces you to think it through. It forces you to think about what's most important here. What really is the shot that counts? What really is the point that you're trying to get home in that particular moment? And you just think about it, but it comes at a cost, right? The cost is everything slows down, everything takes longer. You got a lot of content creators and YouTubers out there who they do this. They sit down and they talk to the camera, and that's their content, right? And when you think about the world that we live in, it's two parts. You've got the creation of the thing, and then you've got the creation of the content that goes along with the thing that is really, that's the product. I don't consider myself a woodworker. I consider myself a content creator whose subject is woodworking. It's the backdrop, it's the thing, but it's not what I do for a living. So, I'm forced to think about it, look at it in a different way than somebody who just works in a cabinet shop and bangs things out all day long, right? The way they think, their processes, their workflows, all different. So
Yeah, and then they go out and they comment. They happen to be home at night and they comment, and that's not the way I do it. I go, well, that's I don't – I see sometimes I see comments. I'm just like, but you don't understand what that person's actually doing. Because that person who is in that shop all day, they could be the – I've seen this 100 times in my life. That person could be the best trim carpenter you've ever seen, the work they do, or cabinet builder or furniture builder. They don't know how to take it out of here and bring it out here. And the next one is to take it out of here, bring it out of here, but then shoot the right video and get the right process. That is so daggone tough. The best craft.
It's the real learning. It's the real learning for me.
Yep. And thank you for doing all you do, because I watched a few of your videos and they're freaking awesome.
So well, I thank you for sitting through more than 5 minutes of my videos. That was... I can't do it.
So we have a running joke here. They go, Sedge, did you watch the video? And I go, I don't watch any of the videos. I do the festival Sedges on my phone and post them, and I take care of all that account myself. Whoopsie, dropped my ear pods. Hopefully my ear pods are still working. And I take care of all that myself. But other than that, Chris and Derek take care of everything here at Festool. And then we have a new lady here, Lucy, who will be doing a lot of our content.
Oh, welcome to the team, Lucy.
Yeah. Hey, I called her out. Tell her I called her out on Shop Talk. Yeah, she's wicked cool, and she'll be working with us. She's our new social media person. Okay, so here's a quick question for you. I think I know this question. We've kind of hammered it, but one, you said 4 years of selling cutting boards. You still selling the cutting boards?
Nope, I gave it up when I started YouTube. I said I can't be in both places. I can't spend my time making orders for people and then continue to pump out content that takes much, much longer to produce. There's just no way. So I gave that up when I decided to go full time into YouTube. But I did just put out a YouTube video just this weekend about, you know, setting up a cutting board business and operating it and making it as efficient as possible and maximizing your profit and all that. So the teaching is still in me to get it out and get the content on YouTube. But I just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I had to do one or the other, and so I ended up picking content creation over production.
Hey, and when you did that, were you selling through Etsy? Or?
Oh, that's where I started. I started selling through Etsy, and then I kind of talked about this in the video. Etsy is a blessing and a curse. It's really, really easy to get started. It's, you know, you can set up a shop as long as you've got all your media and nice pictures and all that stuff. You can be up and running on Etsy in a day and taking customer orders. But I liken Etsy to, you know, it's the online craft fair, the online version of a craft fair.
Yep.
So you're in there, you're in your little area with, you know, 500,000 other people who also do that. And there's, you know, lots of crowded, you know, it's just very crowded. People's products are on your own pages. When you go to buy something off Etsy, if you look, it's got your competition's work right there. So I kind of teach, you know, hey, you got to get yourself off that platform and get yourself, you know, get your own website, do Shopify, your own .com, whatever, that you can control your branding. You can control what people see and what they can't see. And then really go on to teach, like, the way that you drive and you generate your own traffic is sharing. It's sharing on social media. It's really getting people involved in your content, attracted to your brand, invested in your brand, sharing who you are, sharing the behind the scenes, all that stuff. That's how you really drive demand for your brand. And that's how you really get people invested in it. And instead of being on Etsy, where it's almost like a race to the bottom. It's like, it's, you know, like trying to compete with someone who's just trying to sell it for, you know, less and less and less and less and grab those orders. You can go the complete opposite direction and you'll have people asking for your product, not because what you build is any better quality than what a 10,000 other people can do, but they want to buy your board because they're invested in your brand and your journey and what you're doing. And that's how you get multiple, you know, if you're selling cutting boards or any other handmade thing, that's how you get people coming back to buy more and more and more, because they are attracted by the light of what you're doing. Then you deliver the product in a quality way, you know, and they get it and they say, oh yeah, this is as good as I expected it to be. And you're done. Like from now on, you know, if they need something for this person or an office party or my great aunt, and I can't think of what else to get her, they're coming back because they know they want to invest in what you're doing, and they know that you can deliver on the product, and that you don't need Etsy after that. You know, don't need Etsy.
That is some unbelievable advice, Matt. Thank you. man, I at the end of these shop talks, I always do an intro for like Spotify and Apple and stuff like that, and actually YouTube. And I can't wait, because I can't wait to just say you have to listen to this episode because of the advice you're giving. It's awesome. Yep. It's awesome. Okay. Oh, this is even funnier. We've been talking and everything, but I didn't ask. You get any festival?
Do I have any festival? No, man. I don't need that green stuff. Are you kidding me? That's... Who can afford that stuff? That, no way, man. I'm kidding. I've been drinking the green Kool-Aid now since 2015.
Okay, so really quick, do you remember your? This is to Pat question. How did you find out about it, and why did you buy it? What was your first tool?
Well, found out about it just through social people using it on social media. And I think that the first thing I bought was the Domino. And honestly, I bought it because there's nothing else like it. You know, I think my favorite and most used thing is my TS-55. I mean, anytime there's any sheet goods being cut in my shop, it's on every project. But the Domino is just, if you've never seen it or never used it before, you're like, holy cow, that thing is so awesome and I've got to have one. And so that was the first thing I bought. And it's, you know, it's just one of those tools. It's like, it just puts it on easy mode for you, you know, and point and shoot mortise and tenon. It's just amazing. Love that thing. But the track saw wins in terms of my most used and the thing that I turn to the most. I think my track saw wins.
So I take it that if we could get rid of everything Fest tool, the one tool you would keep would be the track saw.
Yeah, I think so.
Me too. Yep. Me too, by the way.
Yeah.
So funny, I get a presentation on Friday, Fest Tool Live, but it's from Heartful Hardware. And I go there every single year, and I just love it. The people.
Isn't that place awesome? It's like the Mecca. My brother-in-law is like 5 minutes away from that place. And every time I'm up there visiting my wife's family, we got to have a trip to Hartville, man. It's like a Woodcraft and a Home Depot had this most amazing, beautiful baby, and it's just. I've never been to any other place like it. It's awesome.
And what's unbelievable is Mark and his crew just redid the entire retail area, power tool area. And there's a few displays around the North America that are so impressive. In fact, that's where I do all the Festool Lives. Hartville, we did Atlas Tool in Toronto. But I'm going to tell you, I am really stoked to do it, because, and the reason I'm saying this is, Mark and I were on the phone, and he says, "Hey, what are we going to do Festool Live about this year?" And I said, "Why Festool?" And it's funny you said this, because I am packing up right now my Dominoes and my Traxxas. And that is what I think brings a lot of people into our system. And I'm going to talk about a lot of different things. I'm really stoked about it, because I used to teach this every single day of my life here at Festool over the years, for 15 years. I'm really stoked, because that's one of the things that I, you know, why should I invest in this system? And then when you show somebody, and then you're talking about breaking down sheet goods, I don't know any other more accurate way, unless you spend $40K on a big sliding saw. And I'm preaching to the choir.
Not my shop. Not my shop. No. And I think just the I was talking to Jason Bentz about this, because I think he's currently being he's having all the full download dumped into his skull, and he's like, I just learned like every little tool. There's like 10 things I didn't know about it, and that's what I think is so impressive about the ecosystem in general, is just what has been thought of, how it makes the work easier, how it plays together with everything else, right? Because I've got, you know, Festool sanders and you know, routers and other things as well, mainly because they work so well together, you know. And they, you know, you throw it with an MFT and you got a you know, guide rails and all this other stuff. I mean, it works well. And I'm probably not even the, you know, the primary customer, because I do everything in a shop. I don't go to the job site. Okay. So I don't experience the full benefit of that ecosystem. But it just changes your workflow and makes it as efficient as it can be. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if it weren't for all those pesky sustainers that I just have sitting around now with nothing to, you know what I do with those? I have literally a cabinet that is just empty sustainers.
Wow.
Because I keep everything out for the most part, so that I can, you know, grab it when I need it. But my favorite thing to do with sustainers is hang cabinets.
Oh, you put the cabinets on them.
Yeah. So I do. I'm a weirdo. I like install my base cabinets first, and then I'll set, like, I can't remember the exact combination of sustainer, but you stack a couple of them on top of one another, and it's the perfect height off of your base cabinets to install your uppers. And that I just love that.
By the way, you're not a weirdo, because that's how I install kitchens in Fort Lauderdale. I always did bases first, that because it gives me my baseline. And I am trying to remember with the old classic sustainers, because they're what I used to stack them as well. And it just made so much sense. Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. Hey, okay. So, hey, Big D, check out the time. Okay. So, I can't believe this. I can go on forever, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. This is kind of a question. I kind of know the answer, because when I look in your shop, I see the machinery, I see the Festool, but I also see hand tools. I'm a hand tool fanatic, okay? I think somebody calls me a hand tool weenie here, but it doesn't matter, because I just love hand tools. And I always said Festool and really good hand tools are a perfect mix. How do you incorporate, or where do you use hand tools in your shop?
So primarily it would be finish work and finesse, right? So if I'm cutting joinery, or if I'm putting an edge on something, I will pull out a block plane or a chisel and take care of the little detail work. I've never built anything exclusively with hand tools. I just don't work that way, nor do I have the time to work that way. Yep. But I will pull out a good sharp block plane. Is way preferred over, you know, say putting a chamfer on the edge of a board with a router, and a bit that may not be quite as sharp as it needs to be, and then you end up tearing a chunk out of your work. Mm-hmm. You get a nice sharp hand plane, block plane, you're going to be good to go. So I do little detailed things like that with my hand tools, but I don't get into anything more crazy than that.
Yeah, with me nowadays, with me, it's just my final fit and finish with a plane or scraper, yep. You know, yep. And I'll do some handsaw work for if I'm doing, because I don't like the look of machine dovetails. I like a hand cut dovetail if I do them. You know, I'm kind of sold on this domino drawer box that I make all the time, especially if it's the shop furniture, right? Cool. Okay. I'm looking. I think we're right where we need to be. Hey, Matt, is there any question I should have asked you?
You know what? I think you bled me dry, and you're so good at this. You made this process so easy, and honestly, it was such a pleasure talking to the great and powerful Oz. I mean, the great and powerful Sedge. And we can't let it be so long before we talk to one another again. I gotta get up there and see you because you're not that far away from me.
No, hey, the invite is always there, Matt, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon. I can almost guarantee it. we got some amazing things happening all of next year. It's probably going to be our number one product launching year, but we're also going to be doing a lot of stuff with people out there who are really involved with social media. So stay tuned. I think there might be an email out there soon.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate that, Sedge.
Hey, listen, I want to thank you so much. Once again, go check out MWA Woodworks. Matt is everywhere on the internet, and please go watch all his videos and bump up his average view duration because I do. I love to watch his videos. All right. So, hey, Matt, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be talking soon.
All righty. Be good, Sedge.
You too, brother. Thanks. All right.